This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Morena listeners, it's David from the Citizens Advice Bureau in Hastings, together with my colleague Denise. And this morning we're going to cover a number of issues. First of all, we're going to talk briefly about the outreach services that we offer. We're then going to talk about some of our other services and to remind you about recurrent services such as clinics. Denise is going to talk about our recruitment, and then we're going to go on to two particularly tricky issues. One is car yard insurances and the other one is travel advice. So I'm going to now hand the microphone to Denise, and she's going to talk about our community hubs.
I'm Morena listeners, and it's nice to be in the new studio. It's Denise speaking. So as David said, we offer our clinic, our bureau, is in Queen Street in Hastings, but we have some outreach services. So we have hubs in Flaxmere Community Centre, in Camberley Community Centre, in Hastings Library, Waipawa Library, and in Waipukura in the Heartland Centre. Now, those outreach centres, services, are really just where we can have a place to put a lot of brochures. From there, you're able to phone services directly or phone our 0800 number for a little bit more information. When you call the 0800 number, you will most likely be transferred to Hastings, although it could go anywhere throughout New Zealand. Thanks, David.
Okay, thank you, Denise. Now, some of the other services which we offer in addition to these community hubs, the Citizens Advice Bureau of New Zealand has now a very comprehensive multilingual service. So, for instance, if you are a second language speaker of English, and so let's say that Russian is your first language, you'd be more comfortable speaking to somebody in that language. You can request an advisor in your, you know, your preferred mother tongue. And often the advisor will be online, but if not, then what we do is we take contact details and the advisor will contact you. So that, I think, is a very good service because it gives people the opportunity to discuss complex issues in a language they're comfortable with somebody who's a native speaker or near-native speaker who's able to offer them advice in a language that they find easy to understand. Then, secondly, I'd like to remind you all about our clinics. So with the relationship we've now established with SACT Kiwi, there is an employment clinic on a weekly basis. So 1 week the clinic is on a Saturday along with the normal Saturday clinics, and the two appointments are at 9:30 and at 10. You have to make an appointment. And we generally take a contact detail for you just in case, for instance, the employment advisor was sick or something like that. And so 1 week it's Saturday, 1 week it's Friday. The appointments are 9:30 and 10. So Friday in the bureau, 9:30 and 10. Saturday the next week in the bureau, 9:30 and 10. The immigration clinic runs fortnightly. Again, it's in the bureau on Saturday morning, and again, appointments are necessary. There are two, 9:30 and 10. And then every Saturday, barring normal public holidays, we have a legal clinic. For the legal clinic, it's not necessary to make an appointment. You come and it's a first-come, first-serve basis. And the lawyer will spend, on average, about 15 minutes with each client. It depends on the nature of the inquiry. Sometimes the inquiry can be dealt with quite quickly, and at other times it takes more than 15 minutes. But the lawyer will certainly give you free legal advice, and we know from feedback from our clients that they find this service very helpful before they, you know, undertake further legal advice. This is a way of getting a start on, you know, what sort of advice or what sort of procedures you might need to follow. Okay, now Denise is going to talk about recruitment for the Citizens Advice Bureau in Hastings.
Thanks, David. Often people say, oh, yeah, I'd be quite interested in doing that, but I don't think I'd have the knowledge. Well, you're not actually required to have knowledge. You're just really required to be a listener, because we have a wonderful database which supports us. The other thing I would say about volunteering is that you get as much back as what you give. So it's like filling your cup as well. The sort of things that, you know, we're doing is assisting people to access information. So not giving them all the answers, but helping them to go along the right channels. Really helping them to navigate systems. Supporting the directions they may have already decided or decisions they've made. Being an independent viewpoint. And often people during a time of stress just need someone to talk through so they can get some clarity on a situation. So, you know, we provide questions or we talk through issues to make some sense of it. So often really it's just affirming or confirming. So if it sounds as though you could be interested, just give us a call and you can come along and see and have a chat with us. We, you know, really want as many people as we can, because it's a sort of thing where you have quite a high turnover of volunteers, and, you know, we're always on the lookout for more people. Thanks, David.
Good. Thank you, Denise. Now, we're going to turn to the two main issues, consumer issues, that we would like to discuss today. I'm going to talk about car yard insurances, and Denise is going to talk about issues around the travel industry. And what we're going to do is I'll talk a little bit about car yard insurances, and then we'll cut to Denise and she'll talk a little about travel issues, and then back to me to continue car yard insurances and so on. Okay, so car yard insurances have come to the attention of community organisations, in particular Consumer, but other organisations that are in the business of advising and supporting people, such as the Salvation Army, Budget First and so on, have also had some input. And I think one of the concerns that's been highlighted is that between 2018 and 2020, consumers paid about $442 million in retail premiums for add-on insurances at car yards, which is a considerable amount of money. Only $128 million was paid out in claims. So the question is, are these policies then beneficial for the consumer? Well, Consumer does point out that purchasing a car that's not of acceptable quality brings into play the Consumer Guarantee Act. So there is already a built-in insurance, if you like, to protect a consumer against some of the things that the car yard insurances might identify as being necessary for cover. The Australians have a similar policy sold at car yards, but the difference is that following a review in Australia, they changed the rules. And so it's now not legal to sell a car yard insurance at the sale of the car. You can sell it 4 days later, but you can't sell it on the day that you promote and sell the vehicle. There's a cooling off period, which allows consumers to consider the ramifications of purchasing one of these insurances. Okay, so I'm going to talk about some of the features of these insurances and why they tend to give concerns. But as I said, we're going to flip-flop between this issue and travel. So Denise is going to introduce the travel issue.
Okay, so I'm talking about the travel issue. We're mainly talking about air tickets. So two things to consider. First of all, before you buy, and also if things go wrong. So before you're buying an airline ticket, make sure that you understand the terms and conditions that apply to cancelling or changing your flight. And we know at the moment with flight going becoming more expensive and also a shortage of flights, these things are becoming more complicated. So when you're buying your tickets, buy from a reputable travel agent, travel site or airline. We had one case in the Bureau recently, and both the person who was the consumer and myself were having trouble finding this actual site that they had purchased tickets on. Consider paying by credit card or a debit card, particularly if you're buying online. And if you have a problem then, the tickets don't arrive, or you can ask your bank to reverse the payment. It's like on a chargeback. Keep conversation records so that if anything goes wrong, you've got proof of what was said and agreed to. And also consider travel insurance. It's an extra expense, but it may cover you for things outside the airline's control, like when flights are cancelled or due to bad weather. I'll talk a little bit more about if things go wrong shortly, but the sort of things we're going to talk about are contacting the travel agent or the airline, so explaining the issue and telling them what's wrong, claiming on your insurance, applying for chargebacks, taking it further, and getting further help. So the taking it further is when there are other areas that you've missed out on. So thanks, David.
Okay. Now, back to car yard insurance. So one of the common insurances is the MBI, Mechanical Breakdown Insurance. This is for, in general terms, a mechanical, an unseen mechanical or electrical fault. However, many of the policies have a list of exclusions, and our advice and the advice of community organisations is that you study carefully what those exclusions are. So, for example, some policies do not cover things like shock absorbers, airbags, door locks, and so on. If you break down within a certain distance from your home, you may not be covered. Sometimes the breakdown must be more than 100 kilometres from home. If you are without the car for a period of time, there may be a period of qualifying. So it might be 24 hours, it might be longer than that. So it's important that you look at the exclusions. So that's mechanical breakdown and insurance. Roadside assistance is also added to most of these policies. There's usually a limit on the number of call-outs per year, and most of the policies will insist that the car has been serviced regularly. It's, I think, again important to look at the exclusions that are in the policies. What are the things that you can't do if you want roadside assistance? A general advice here is study really carefully the exclusions and then decide, is it worth paying extra for these insurances, or shall I simply go with my comprehensive insurance and the Consumer Guarantee Act? Okay, back to travel with Denise.
Okay, so the contract that you have, we know, when you buy your ticket, is a contract between you and the travel agent or the airline. And as such, they need to comply with the Consumer Guarantees Act. So they must be competent and professional, and their service must be fit for purpose. So they can't rely on terms and conditions, sometimes called conditions of carriage, printed only on the ticket, unless you were actually given a reasonable chance to read them. And they can't avoid compensating you for cancelled or delayed flights that were their fault. So the sort of things which are their fault is that the flight is overbooked and you can't get on. And that's called being bumped off. There are mechanical issues, or there aren't enough staff to service the flight. However, the airline doesn't have to compensate you if the cancellation or delay couldn't have been avoided. Like, that's weather conditions or air traffic control says the plane can't take off. Now, if a flight's cancelled due to mandatory government shutdown, as we've had in recent years, the airline's not responsible for providing a resolution or an alternate plan for continuation of your journey. However, airlines operating within New Zealand will need to give you a refund unless their terms and conditions expressly provide that you're not entitled to those. So that's where we talk about, you know, travel insurance, because these are things that are out of their control. And if the airline offers you less than you think you're entitled to, then you need to provide evidence. And these sort of things are that you've needed to get additional taxi fares to and from the airport, or you've missed out on a concert ticket or something of that such.
Okay. All right. So another kind of car yard insurance is the Guaranteed Asset Protection, sometimes abbreviated to GAP. The purpose of this is to cover a shortfall between the amount owing on a loan, if you've taken a loan to purchase the vehicle, and an amount paid out by a comprehensive car insurer in the event of the car being in an accident and being a total loss. So first of all, you must have comprehensive car insurance, not third party, and not third party fire and theft. And if you haven't got that, then this policy doesn't apply. So you need to have comprehensive car insurance. It's for the difference between what that insurance will pay and what you still owe. And it's in the case of a car being in an accident and being unrecoverable, being a total loss. So the Salvation Army detailed a case where a client took out a car loan for $8,000 and had a guaranteed asset protection. Now, money became tight because of employment circumstances. The client cancelled car insurance without really thinking about the ramifications of that. Unfortunately, he was then in an accident and the car was a write-off. And, of course, he wasn't covered because he didn't have the comprehensive car insurance, so he couldn't claim on his guaranteed asset protection. So he had to take a hardship, KiwiSaver withdrawal, to replace that. So what would have been better would have been to cancel the guaranteed asset protection and keep the other insurance. So, again, it's important to think about the implications of the insurance in circumstances where you might need to call on it. And then another provision in these insurances is the credit indemnity, credit contact indemnity and payment protection insurance. These are both similar because they will apply if you can't make repayments to a loan for reasons of sickness, hospitalisation, redundancy, bankruptcy, accident. Again, it's important to read the exclusions. So generally speaking, these apply to people who are working for more than 30 hours a week in what would be considered to be a permanent employment. There is a long list of exclusions. Pre-existing conditions, of course, are not covered. Anxiety, stress, mental health, not covered. Getting caught in a natural disaster, not covered. If you become redundant, you have to be redundant for a number of days before qualifying, and so on. If you take voluntary redundancy, you won't be covered. So generally speaking, the list of exclusions tends to make these insurances questionable. Again, you know, the advice that we give is please study the exclusions really carefully, which is why I think the Australian four-day cooling-off period is significant. Okay, now we're going back to travel with Denise.
So we're going back to insurance again, and again, you know, travel insurance is so important, if at all possible. Thinking about your hand luggage, is that covered? Because you're responsible for your luggage that you keep with you during a trip. However, if the carrier is responsible for some damage, then it may be that you take that to your insurance or through the disputes tribunal. For checked in luggage, and we hear cases quite common now where this goes missing, the airline's responsible for luggage while it's checked in. So report lost or missing items to the airline within 24 hours. And if you have problems getting compensation from the airline, speak to your insurer if you've got travel insurance. Accommodation cancelled, if you're out of pocket in that way. For bookings that were affected during COVID, your rights to cancellation will be determined by the terms and conditions of your ticket or your booking. If you are making a complaint, before you complain, know what you want the business to do. Check the terms and the conditions of your ticket and gather proof. Most important. Thanks, David.
Okay, so final discussion and advice about car yard insurances. Generally speaking, when people take one of these insurances, it's at the situation where they're in the process of purchasing a car. The car's new for them. It may be a used car, but it's a new purchase for them. And in the complexity of that process and the decision-making that goes with it, it's quite easy to overlook the fact that car yard add-on insurances are also being offered and not to consider them as thoroughly as you might. So I think keep in mind the fact that in Australia there has to be a cooling-off period. And there's no legal requirement for you to purchase one of these insurances on the day that you purchase the car. That is not necessary. So you can ask for time to consider the policy, and you can ask for the wording, and you can read it through at your leisure and discuss it with someone else. Always good to get a second opinion. And we are happy to, at the Bureau, we're happy to discuss these sorts of things with clients. But, you know, family members, friends, neighbours, they can help you with these things. So I think the overall advice that we give is remember that if you buy a car from a registered dealer, then the car will be offered under the terms that the registered dealer operates. And that will be covered by the Consumer Guarantee Act. If, of course, you're buying a new car, then, of course, it comes with a warranty. On the other hand, if you're buying privately, then you need to be aware of all the difficulties of buying privately. But, of course, if you're buying privately, you're not going to be offered a car yard insurance. Okay, so that's the end of that topic for today, and Denise is going to wrap up travel.
Yeah, I think you've said it all, David, really, about not making sure that you know what's in the terms and conditions. I recommend that you do have travel insurance, particularly in the environment we're working under now, and make sure that you seek advice on that. Thanks, David.
Okay. All right. That's it for today, listeners. Ngā mihi.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.